consecrated for the virgins through the veil of his flesh.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness through God's servant.
Praise the Lord. All right, this morning we are continuing, as Daddy would have it, our series on the great harvest. And I know we took a detour last week, but I think the detour was very directional. The Lord used it to help us galvanize again so that we can further understand this topic. I think one of the burdens that is upon the heart of God's servant is that we will say it and say it and say it from as many sides as possible until we catch the fire. Let's say amen. And you said, no, I remember when Daddy was running up yesterday, last week, he said that if Sunday school isn't cutting it, he will look for another means. That means somewhere, I believe, that we have not yet caught it the way he's seeing in his spirit. So part of your prayers should be to catch this, for want of a better word, quote and unquote, fever of harvest. I know that, and it makes all the difference in your spiritual journey. When you have an understanding, a better understanding of what it entails and where, how you should prosecute it, it helps your commitment, it helps in your diligence, it helps in all your activities towards achieving that goal. Because we know the goal is actually the goal of the Lord. It's called the agenda of God. It's this great harvest. So we pray that we'll be saying many things we said again, using different scenarios, different things, as the Holy Spirit will give utterance. But our prayer is that we will catch this fire in the name of Jesus. You are not saying amen, no? And we will all know when we catch it. It will be evident in the way we live. It's always evident in the way we live. Your life pursuits are betrayed by your lifestyle. What did I say? Your life pursuits are betrayed by what? What did I say? All right, can we shout it? Your life pursuits are betrayed by your lifestyle. You know, when we are growing up, if you are a stubborn child, when you are growing up, your parents will tell you, look, the way you are behaving, this is where you will end up. Who heard that before? So many stubborn children like me. We heard that. My dad would come and say, see, your life is in your hands. And you are squeezing it as if your life is coming. All those philosophical things that didn't make sense to me then. But they are trying to tell you that the way you are living is actually a map to where you are going. Amen? So you don't say you love God. It's not just mouth. It's not mouth. They will look at the way you live. They will look at your conversation. And that betrays where you are going. That is actually where you are going. A child who, for example, goes to school, and when he goes to school, every morning he gets up around 12 noon, and then he stays up till like 3 p.m. and does that for 4 years. You don't need to be a prophet to know that that child is going somewhere. There's a where he will end up. Amen? So your life pursuits are betrayed by your lifestyle. And that is one of the burdens that this study is carrying. There's a way we are supposed to live if we want to end up where we are saying we want to end up. The throne, everybody shall throne, our destination is God. After they have calmed down, they'll start living. After we shouted, they will look at the way we have lived. And that will actually confirm or refute what we have shouted or screamed with our mouths. Amen. So the Lord wants us to, through that, he wants us to really catch this fire. We pray we catch it by God's grace in the name of Jesus. All right. Today's lesson, Understand the Agenda of God, Part 4. This is Becoming True Children of the Kingdom. This is an offshore, a portion of what Daddy taught last week when he was rounding up. In fact, the rounding up was even longer than the Sunday school. I watched it was like 1 hour, 30 minutes. So that was not rounding up. That was another message. We had two messages and one exhortation on Sunday. And the Lord really, really blessed us. Who was not blessed last Sunday? Who was blessed last Sunday? It was really a blessing. All right, look at our manners now. A memory track says, by the grace of God, we saw in our last lesson To be an effective laborer, particularly in today's field, we must be higher than the pool or law of the field, and at the same time be willing to be all things to all men. That was two Sundays ago when we were talking about effective labor, describing the excellent spirit in order to grant access to the field. It says the great harvest is not just to the world, harvesting of spirits, but mainly to the church, harvesting of souls. Let's say amen. You know, the Lord plants you in the church for you to be harvested. What did I say? The Lord plants you where? For to what? The Lord plants you where? For to be. So the church is actually another field of the Lord. It's actually the most important field. It is the trees that have matured in the church that he can confidently plant in the world. You understand what I will look at more like that, more into that in today's study. If you have not taking advantage of the field that is the church. Because remember in our book of Acts chapter 4, I think it's Acts 4, is it 2? Where it says, and the Lord added daily to the church such as what? Should be saved. The Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. So the intention of adding people to the church, or souls rather to the church, is so that souls will be saved. Let's say amen. Now, the addition is like a planting. The Lord took you from the world. He said, we translated from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, or His dear Son. He put us in the church so that we can grow. Amen. Amen. You know, when we understand what church is for, a lot of deliverance comes to your soul. You know, there are many things people want to use church for. Some people are in church, like Daddy described. Okay, that's our own church. That was school. But I've heard somebody who described, he said, the reason why he's attending church, so that when he dies, that a pastor will pray over his body. And he wants to be buried with hymns. He must sing immortal, invisible, God only wise at my deathbed. So the reason that person joined that assembly is so that when he dies, now that is not what church is for. I can tell you, when you die, you don't care what they're doing with your body. Some people say, when I die, please make sure my body does not rot. If I burn it. And some people say they don't want their body to see my God, so burn it. I can tell you, I've never died before. But I can speak on authority. That when you die, you don't care what happens to that body. Number one, that body you'll be given another one. God's going to take that one, transform it, and give you another one. But what you have used your life to do is what will be paramount to that soul, where that soul dies. So the use of church is what the Lord is restoring to us. Amen. And like I keep saying, we need to be humble in the restoration of light. Why? Because there are many truths that the church broke into that were eroded in the dark ages. And you and I do not know what those truths are. Honestly, we don't know. So we don't even have the database to decipher what is actually correct or what is not. Let me just put it that way, and I'll explain what I mean. We've said it before. When the Lord was restoring, you said, a time in the church where to get born again, you have to pay the Pope money or the priest money. That's how you get into heaven. In fact, it was a time they didn't even know heaven was a goal. Then they thought, then heaven as a goal was restored, but they were taught that this was what pastors were preaching from their pulpit. The more you give, the better your chances of getting to heaven. So poor man, no hope for you. Rich man, there is hope if you give. Even rich man, if you are stingy, there's no hope for you. Now that was the message. Now you and I were not there then. It sounds incredulous. What? This was what some people believed. The way some of our forefathers believed in Otumapo. And what have you? I mean, believed in it. I mean, really believed in it. Some of us, even our parents, you have elderly parents, you know some of our parents believed in it. Am I lying? Everybody's looking at me and saying, no, my parents were born again. Thank God for you. Some of us, our parents believed in it. They went to church, but they believed, they said, believe. Now, until light was restored, there was no hope. People did not know what to believe. So I'm saying this to say, as the Lord is restoring the essence of church, that's one thing this study is trying to rivet in all our hearts. So that we'll know the reason for church. You are planted in church to be harvested by the Lord. Your being born again is not the end of the story. It is the beginning of it. And it's a beginning that must have an end. Let's say amen. You must not end up just being born again alone. That is not, that is like a farmer rejoicing, like even though he's rejoicing only about your being born again. You rejoice a bit during harvest, during seed time. But see, the blessedness of seed time is the hope and anticipation of harvest. Let's say amen. What did I say? The blessedness of what? Seed time is what? The hope or the anticipation of harvest. Every half farmer that's rejoicing over his planting is rejoicing because he has faith or he has a mind that those seeds will grow. If all you do is plant, you have done something, but you have not done anything. Amen. Now, I'm not a farmer, but you know, planting, if you are planting, is a lot of work. Amen. Pastor Ewa will bear us witness that he has told us many stories about his days of farming. It's work. I mean, planting, sowing is work. It's a lot of work. If you want to plant, we had a small garden in the house. We used to plant cassava and corn, you know. Even as small as it was, maybe a space of not more than from here to there or there to there. We'll plant corn, we'll plant cassava, we'll plant it. I do, my mom would say, make riches. We say, why make riches? You're tired. But we'll make the hole, take the hole, make riches, plant corn. At the beginning, it was exciting. After a while, it just became work. I beg. You've done it year 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4. I beg. But yeah, it's time to plant. Oh my God. I want to play ball. But no, planting was work. I want to paint something because if I know you, we can rest on that work and say, wow, I have planted. Hi. I have worked. Now, after you've planted, you're planting like this, you are sweating. You have labored. Amen. It's a labor. And that is what the initial introduction of the faith to a soul does. Amen. You are preaching, and people get their souls regenerated. It's a planting. It's a work, but it's a planting. Now, you know, the rejoicing should not just, and this is where Satan has done us major 419. Because all of us have gone out on that activity and come back rejoicing, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But our rejoicing was premature. In the same way that we don't rejoice when you've planted corn. You say, wow, I planted. And then you go home and go and sleep and forget about the corn. You do not water. You don't weed. You just leave it. I can promise you, I don't need to be a prophet. When you come back, you will not see corn. You may see corn look alike because there are some weeds that mimic corn. Once you plant corn, I don't know how that happens. You plant, there's no, when you plant corn there, that weed will just find its way. It must be an evil spirit. It will just find its way to where you planted your corn and be growing just beside it. You have to know what to look out for to know that this is not corn. If you leave your garden unattended to, you will not harvest. All your labor becomes a labor in vain. I see, and that is what the devil wants to reduce the church to. Reduce it to a place where you just come into the church and, sorry, I'm going through the story already, but we'll just read some portions of it, but let me just follow this flow. You come into church and you do not pay any attention to your growth. You are like a plant that has just been planted and has been abandoned. There will not be a harvest. And the husbandman is not waiting for the planting. He is planted. Using his servants, using his praises. Apollos planted, Paul watered. He uses his servants. But he gives increase. Why is he giving increase? For harvest. Let's say amen. The labor is that if you are not deliberate about growing, and that is where spiritual things are different from natural things, you can be planted and not grow. Why? Because you have to pay attention to the things that make for growth. Let's say amen. You are not saying amen. Amen. If we do not pay attention, it's not automatic. It can be for certain seasons. Some things will just organically happen. But a time comes where responsibility is laid on you to cooperate with the program of your development. Amen. And that is the mind. That is just a nutshell describing the agenda of God. You are coming to church for many reasons. The number one reason why anyone should come to church is to grow. Because Jesus is coming back. Apart from that, not the way you haven't thinking. The firstborn man is coming to harvest what he has planted. And we saw what happened when he saw the fig tree and there was nothing on it. He expected fruit. He said, "Lie, this one's cursed. That will not be apportioned in Jesus' name." All right. So looking at today's, to just push further those thoughts, we are looking at, all right, the parable of wheat and tares, window to go into God's harvest agenda. Amen. So this parable offers a unique window into the mind of the Lord concerning the harvest. Remember the parable of wheat and tares? Let's quickly read it. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 from 24 to 30 and Matthew 13, 37 to 43. Matthew 13, 24. It says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also." Let's say amen. "So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good field, good seed in thy field? From whence hath it tears?" You see, I agree. That means what I said was by the Spirit. It's an evil spirit. When you plant corn, are you going to see look alike corn in it? You didn't plant it. It was not there before. It's showing here. "An enemy has done this." That's what he said. The servant said, "Without then," now the story is that wheat and tares look alike when you plant them. Amen? Wheat and tares look alike. It's difficult to separate them in time of germination. Amen? That's why many of you still look like unbelievers when we first get born again. Your goals, your ambitions, your targets are all the same as an unbeliever. It's just that you're doing your own in the name of Jesus. He wants to be rich. He's doing 419. You want to be rich. You are fasting and praying. Amen. Same goals, but different methods. But so you look alike. When they check your heart, they check your soul, they see the same, you are heading in the same direction. It's just you are saying, "Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, do it for me. Oluwashe, Oluwa, do it. Oluwashe, Oluwa." And he's saying, "And I got to make it. I got to hustle. And then sometimes you hear him hustling. I say, "Jesus, should I hustle?" And he says, "You should." And then the devil says, "Hustle." I say, "Okay, I hustle in the name of Jesus. You are just doing all your own in the name of Jesus. But it's the same goal. The goal of an unbeliever and the goal of a believer should be different. But as long as it's not different, it means somewhere wheat and tears are still looking alike. So what did the Lord tell him? He says, "Then the servants said unto him, Without then, go, are we true? Should we go and harvest them? He said, "Should we go and harvest them? Gather them up." Verse 29. He said, "Nay." He said, "Lest while ye gather the tears, ye root up also the wheat with them." So an angel could not tell the difference. You know the harvesters were angels. Amen. So God said, "Leave them. Let them grow together. Until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them and gather the wheat into my barn." Now let's go to the explanation from verse 37 to 43. 37. Matthew 13, 37. Jesus answered unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is who? The Son of Man. The field is what? The good seed are who? But the tears are who?" And at one point they looked alike. At one point in time they looked alike. Now they looked alike because it is the children of the kingdom that are coming from the world. So they looked alike until they grew. Now I said in agriculture that how you tell the difference between wheat and tares is that wheat will bend because of fruit. It will bear fruit and bend. So anyone that's bending, you know that the weight of the fruit will cause it to bend. Tears has no intention of bearing fruit. It just wants to distract you. In fact, its fruitfulness is its fruitlessness. You understand what I mean by that? It's being fruitful to this planter, who is the enemy, is that it has no fruit on it. It will stand erect like that, which will have bent down. So, but the tears are children of the wicked one, 39. "The enemy that has sown them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are angels. And therefore, as the tears, are gathered and burnt, so shall it be in the end of this world. 41. And this is a very real thing. Amen. Amen. So the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. 43, finally. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So this parable gives us, and according to our manual now, a unique window into the mind of God concerning the harvest. So while there's a general and widely accepted interpretation, and that's what we all know, we seem to, okay, that time will come, what we call rapture, what we call the end of the age, when God will come and wipe out everything, and then he will gather all of us into heaven, that's what we believe, and gather all of them into hell. We all believe that. And that is, in a general sense, there's a lot of truism to that. But there is a more specific interpretation of this that will apply to you personally. And that's what we're trusting God and this study will be able to touch. God will grant us entrance in Jesus' name. So while there's a generally widely accepted interpretation, one that rightly speaks of the overarching agenda of God, said there's also a personalized revelatory dimension embedded within. Embracing this deeper view helps us align with the individual allocations of life and light that come to each person through the various dispensations of God's dealings with man. Now, God has always dealt with us in dispensations. And maybe not in this study, but we will look more in it in the remaining two studies. I think we have two studies after this. Now, let's look at the children of the kingdom. This is being called from Daddy's teaching last week. From Emmanuel's now. In this parable, the good seed was sown by the sower, and is described as this good seed that's sown by the sower are described as what? The children of the kingdom. Remember we read that in Matthew 13, 37, when he said the seed, the good seed, are who what? Are what? The children of the kingdom. Now, that means, thank you, 37, he answered, he that sowed the good seed, the Son of Man, 38, the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Amen. Now, that was described last week, and which bears repetition. Children of the kingdom are very high things. God has confidence to plant them in the world. Amen. Amen. You know, I didn't see any place where the children, the wheat became tears. There were two different plantings. He said, let them just grow together. Amen. So the Bible is, you need to help, not help you in lots of understanding of the Bible. Let's just go step by step. You understand what we're talking about. God was confident to plant them, knowing that he will harvest them. Amen. All right. From our manuals, a common assumption is that once we are born again, we immediately qualify to be that's children of the kingdom. And that was in last week. No, these children of the kingdom are not, it's not getting born again that qualifies you to be this seed. Amen. There's what should happen to your soul must have marked some progress. Good example. When God, you know, Adam was a tree. Who agree with me? Adam was a tree. God made Adam and put him in a garden and he planted many trees and also planted Adam. Amen. You know, Adam was not supposed to end up just like that. Adam was supposed to bear fruit. Adam was planted in the Garden of Eden. This whole earth was God's garden. The Garden of Eden was the only place God put man, made it beautiful, put Adam. And his intention was for Adam to bear fruit. How would Adam bear fruit? Adam would bear fruit by growing up to qualify to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. When Adam had grown enough, he would have qualified to eat that fruit. When he was made, even though he was planted in the garden, they say it was a living soul, but we know through many teachings over the years that was not a finished product. Although he was a full-grown, mature man, perfect, but when you hear the word perfect in the Bible, there are two different descriptions of perfect. There is perfect as in mature, and there's perfect as in complete. Let's say amen. Let's say amen. What did I say? There's perfect as in what? And there's perfect as in what? When you are using perfect to describe man in his initial stage of perfection unto God is called perfection. It's called maturity, not completion. Adam was perfect, but wasn't complete. If he was complete, he would not be temptable. Daddy taught us, your ignorance is a nebula of what? Evil spirits. You can be mature, but what you don't know about God is an incompletion. Now, that incompleteness is where Satan comes to hide and propagate his own work. But it's only God that is perfect, complete. Perfect, complete means you don't. He doesn't need anything to add to him. He's all God, all by himself, in himself, of himself. Everything. He doesn't need any extra. Even though Adam was mature, Adam was still expected to grow from a living soul to a quickening spirit. Amen. Because Adam was supposed to pass his gene of life, not just from him, to pass to all his seed. The way death passed to all of us through Adam, God's intention was for life to pass from Adam to all of us. Meaning you and I would have been Eden. Don't ask me how it would have been. I don't have an idea. But you can think about it in your meditation. How would it have been? Number one, I know that many things are trouble. Everything that's troubling us here will not be there. Because there would have been no trouble. Trouble came when an enemy entered. Amen. God already had a plan for man to grow, but he was supposed to grow seamlessly. If the devil didn't come to interrupt Adam's journey to the tree of life, Adam would have naturally gravitated towards growing up, and ended up in the tree of life, before the tree of life, eating the fruit, matured, and all of us would have been Edenic. Amen. Hey! You know, sometimes when you've prayed, read Bible, just close your eyes and just think about it. Just think about it. Don't think too much and start getting angry. Some people have thought. I said, now, wow, why did Adam? No. But just think about how beautiful this world would have been. But there's hope. There's hope. Because the world to come, I believe, will be much finer than this present Eden. Oh, my God. It will be much, 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 much finer. Amen. So let's work towards that. All right. The children of the kingdom, in this parable we have read, immediately you get born again, that also qualifies you to be a child of the kingdom. It says, while this may be true in a limited sense, meaning that your spirit is, once you get born again, your spirit, we have been taught, is Christ. Your spirit is seated in heavenly places with Jesus. Your spirit, as Pastor Mike put it, your spirit is added to the, added to the body, and your soul is added to the church. Your spirit part comes, you know, Jesus is the head spirit. We are joint heirs, or we are joint to the Lord, but we are body. We are not head. All of us are body. When you get born again, your spirit is added. And to that degree, yes, you can say that your spirit has achieved. But the seat of your personality is in your soul. How we differentiate you, how you mark progress, as it were, or transformation, is in the soul. So where the soul is matters a great deal. And that is what the children of the kingdom is actually referring to. Amen. It's referring to the movement of the soul from carnality into divinity. Amen. Now, there's a divine operation within the program of salvation that aims to develop the soul, turning it from a state of infancy into mature spiritual childhood. I like that phrase. A soul that's aligned with life, values, and authority of the kingdom. Somebody say soul. Say soul. In the beginning of your Christian race, your soul had no affinity for the kingdom of God. It didn't. It had to be taught. Why? Because some of us, that's why you got born again at 25. For 25 years, you have used the kingdom of this world. You might have even prospered in it. It has paid you. Now, it's very difficult to repent of something that's working for you. Very difficult. It's working. Why will you tell me to change it? I have lived by this. And I'm not even speaking about the obvious sins. I'm talking about the methodology of living that sin and death concocted for souls. It just left you. This is how you should live. And people will applaud you for it. So much so that if you are confused, sometimes we as believers, and I beg both to say, it's on our parents and pastors, you sometimes we look for accolades. Praises, accolades from the world. Oh, Lord have mercy on me, please. I will say it. How can you? The thing is vexing me. This world cannot give you any award. I'm sorry, it can't. Don't look for this world to award you. If this world is awarding you for all your spirituality, it's not spirituality. He said, at best, it's a distraction to you. At best, maybe you are doing well, just want to distract you. At worst, you are not even, you are worldly. Sorry, that's worst. But at best, you are spiritual, just want to distract you. She announced the best so of 2025, and then he say, and then you go and down there, you can't create. I don't want to. Sorry. But if you know what I'm saying about you, if the Lord just wants to let you know. But I'm saying the world cannot award you. Amen. So that's part of the things, that's part of the maturity that we must outgrow. But things we must outgrow. But let me move on from that. It says from Emmanuel, the transformation process is not an automatic consequence of new birth or the beginning of salvation. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. That's why you can be in church. Amen. Oh, you can be in church for 25 years and not grown. And that is the painful thing about spiritual things. You can be in church for 25 years and you did not change from flesh to spirit. You didn't change. Why? Because your goals and your aspirations were still the same as somebody that was not born again. It's just that you want to use Jesus to do it. That is why Daddy was saying on Sunday, blessed are you if God interrupts your life. If they don't interrupt your life, you will use Jesus to become a billionaire. Many of you have prayed. Haven't you prayed for more? You have more money than you have now. Some of you have forgotten the way you used to pray those prayers. God has helped you. You've forgotten. Even and it costs every walk of life, even ministry. Some people have used. There is a way an unbelieving soul. That's what I said. Remember what I said, unbelieving soul. The guest is born again, but his soul is still worldly. Will do ministry. He has an agenda that's different from the agenda of God. So God comes with his interruption program. What's the interruption? He brings you the seed. Let's say seed. You're not shouting seed. He brings to you, go to a point where you can now begin to receive what the Bible calls, and that's the next parable we are looking at, because the explanation of the development of the children of the kingdom is seen in the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower describes how God will take a soul and raise the soul to the point it can arrive at being a child of the kingdom. Amen. Now, that is the personal work that every soul needs to undertake. And the parable of the sower, brethren, is not a description of when you got born again. No. It's the description of the introduction of the word of God to your soul. Let me explain. When you got born again, you believed that Jesus was raised from the dead. That is all. You did not repent. You didn't change. Let me say, you, that's your soul, didn't change. Your spirit was transformed. Somebody say, no, we repented. No. If you repented, if repentance was a requirement for you to be born again, then there's no way anyone can get born again without repenting, right? Do you understand what I said? Should I say it again? If repentance, and we should be bold to say it, because this confusion must end. If repentance was a requirement, when I say repentance, I mean, I'm speaking to people, when I say repentance, these battles, I'm not going to do them again. Everyone that means it's a requirement for everyone to get born again. That means, and if you please follow me, that means the Ethiopian eunuch did not get born again. Read the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, and I'm just quoting what Daddy has taught us. The Ethiopian eunuch, there was nothing discussed about repentance. All he did was believed, and he was baptized, and he left there rejoicing. That is born again. You remember what Daddy has told us, that God told him to stop telling people, forgive me of my sins. You are repenting of the one that everybody calls sin. What about your strengths that you need to repent of? Many strengths you have that you will never. See, Daddy has told us now that, you remember Daddy described something to us, he was talking about himself, how the Lord came to him and said, you cannot behave like that anymore. Responding to certain, maybe scenarios. He said, if he was going to handle this thing 5 years ago, this way we would have treated it. Now, that thing has always been there. Mommy was laughing then. But Daddy was saying, you know, if I can, those days I can drive people. Mommy was not laughing. Mommy said, Daddy, you should. We don't know that part of Daddy. It reminds me of where, that's why I have hope. I have hope for myself. So if this person they're describing, I don't see it at all in Daddy. I can see my own, because me, I'm still a bit of a worker, driver. But God is helping me. I'm learning to calm down. But you don't see that as something to repent of. But it has always been there. It is a product of sin and death. It's there with you. I'm getting through to you. You see, so don't leave repentance. You repent. Oh, you will repent. You will repent and repent and repent and repent. In fact, if you're not repenting, you're not growing. If you're not, you will see something, because there's everything. Hey, everything is wrong with us. Oh. Why? Because the way you think already is wrong. So everything you do will be wrong. It will just be wrong. You can't help it. They have to begin to alter the way you think so you can begin to bring forth things that will be commendable to God. So the when you get born again, the first thing, they are not even expecting you. Just believe. I'm trying to describe that for you. The parable of the sower described the seed, when God, the good seed, we shall read the parable of the sower. Please also open to it. We shall read it. When the word of God came to the soul, it's not when you got born again. It is at the point where, the easiest way you could describe it for now, is when they begin to introduce the person of Jesus to you. Now, when I say the person, when they begin to put it in a clear form, when they begin to describe what makes him up. Amen. Are you following me? If they do not describe what makes him up, you will not see what to repent of. Why? Because what made you up? Somebody taught you how human beings behave. You did not leave heaven knowing that people keep malice, or people are what we call go-getters, you know. And you will drive so everybody. Yes, it doesn't matter whose ox is gold, as long as we achieve our goal. And people say, that guy is a self-driven. He said this, he said that. And your workplace, you're part of your KPI. They mark you correct concerning it. And all that, you say, yes, it's one of my strengths, one of my cause. You don't see it as something to repent of. Why? Because somewhere, when they trace that thing, they trace it to an intolerance. Amen. Like what we call perfection. Perfectionist. I'm a perfectionist. I don't like things the way that I just like this. I'm a perfectionist. If I pick this here, people say, why? She's a perfectionist. And then you go, your KPIs. One of her strengths is that she's a perfectionist. And your boss likes it. I say, perfectionist of the year. Tade, Okuntade. And back to back, 2 years running, perfectionist of the year. And then it's a strength. When they trace that your perfection, they will trace it to its root in sin and death. And the expression is intolerance. You cannot tolerate anybody's cut. So when your perfection is touched, then we begin to see the beast of anger rise out. And Daddy Busiri taught us recently, he said, anger rests in the bosom of fools. He said, if you are easily angry, it's not an insult, it's a state. That means you are in the state of being a fool. So you need to trust God to come out of that state. Eh? So when Bible says anger is the bullet of fools, it's not an insult. It's a description of a state. And I began to repent. The Lord told Pastor Ewa once, said, if you keep shouting like this, would I be weary? You know the way Lord talks to Pastor Ewa, he talks to him, he will understand. Maybe God will tell me, you see, you are beside yourself. But he told Pastor Ewa, you are behaving like a madman. Now, if you don't have children, young children, you don't understand what I'm saying. You can wake up from the morning till night and you have something to shout about. You will just have something to correct, something to shout about, and the child will look at you. So I listen to what the Holy Ghost, sir. They don't understand why you're behaving like a madman. So I had to borrow that word that the Lord told Pastor Ewa to myself too recently. I said, look, don't let this boy turn you to a madman too. He'll be okay. He will grow. So you see that intolerance that we have. No. They should scatter my house. Your children will scatter your house. And you will not be angry. Otherwise, you're a fool. Now, you don't see that folly to repent of. You see your perfection. I like my house clean. You're not seeing sin and death inside. What am I trying to describe? The day you got born again, they didn't touch that. Now you cannot sit on the throne with that thing. One day you tell Jesus that the way he sat on his throne, you measure his bum up. He's 2.5 inches off. Jesus, move. HDHD. I want to call the ADHD. I want to call the OCD. I become quickening all those names. They give those things. Obsessive compulsive disorder. No, Lord. Moves. Jesus, move. That's to be aligned. Aligned. Take it. Those are things people don't repent of. You all know fornication, lying, stealing. We all know those ones. Even unbelievers repent of those ones. You have soft conscience. You steal something, conscience will prick you. You're not born again. You're just touched. Hey, I'm going to back in your mind. Ah, could they die? Could they die? Could they die? My dark mother. It doesn't mean he's born again. Amen. So the requirement for being born again is to believe. When you believe to a point, when they now want to introduce the person you have believed to you, so you can know him, that's when they bring the word to you. Amen. And that is what the parable of the sower begins to describe. Because it's at that point that many born again people have rejected Jesus. Oh, are you with me? You can be born again and hate your Lord. That is the confusion that Revelationist is helping to explain to the church. He's born again. How did I come? And they say you are born again. Even unbeliever will tell you, they say, yeah, you are born again. What does the person know about being born again? I used to say, oh, yeah. Some of us, that's why you have almost killed yourself in condemnation. Because of that description. No. There is a program of deliverance that the Lord has already set for us. It's just the answer is growth. Amen. You grow into tolerance. You grow into patience. You grow into kindness. You grow into long suffering. These are all things you grow into. They are not imparted by laying on of hands. Otherwise, some of you, people have laid hands on you. You should not be sitting there. You should be floating. So it's not by laying on, it's by growth. Let's say amen. So how you will arrive at being a child of the kingdom is that you have come to fruition of the word of God, when the word of God came to you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's quickly read on. The transformation process is not an automatic consequence of new birth or salvation. It is the fruit-bearing soul that qualifies. It is the fruit-bearing soul that qualifies as a true child of the kingdom. Salvation is not just being born again. It's a complete inner transformation of man from a life governed by the flesh to a life that expresses divine nature. We can read those scriptures. It says, while regeneration begins at the rebirth of the human spirit, or regeneration, true salvation continues with the renewal of the soul and ultimately culminates in the redemption of the body. Let's say amen. So there's a plan for your spirit, there's a plan for your soul, there's a plan for your body. And Daddy was touching on it a little bit on yesterday, writing the vision. We were talking about presenting your body living sacrifice. So he didn't go too much into it, but there is also a plan for your body. That's why you see the scripture to tell you that you'll give account for what you did in the days of your flesh. Why? Because your body in the days of your flesh should be presented as a living sacrifice. It should be presented. But some, not everybody gets there. We will get there in Jesus' name. You are supposed to grow to that point where you can say also, hey, body hast thou prepared me. Amen. See, sacrifice already, Jesus Christ got to that point where his use of his natural flesh was a constant sacrifice unto God. We still use our time and our flesh for certain things that we still need to repent of. Amen. All right. Reading on. Let's just jump to the parable of the sower, raising of the children of the kingdom. We have read that parable. I believe we all read that parable time and again. So to understand from among us how the children of the kingdom are raised, we turn to the parable of the sower, which describes the conversation and the cultivation of the heart, the very field where the word, the seed of God, is sown. Now, when you get born again, your spirit, you know, you get born again. Please follow me. Can you follow me? Are you here? When you get born again, God did put a first one on your soul. Well, yeah, your soul is not allegiant to anybody except itself. It looks for who pays him. Say, let him pay me and sin. And that's what they call up and down. Say, yo-yo Christianity. Because your soul is always looking for the one that he feels can help him in this situation. It takes a while before a soul comes to peace with God, where it just agrees with God when things do not look good, when things look good. After, in the beginning, your soul is always... So, the Lord, a message came. You heard a word or something happened. And then, if they waited for your spirit, your dead, regenerated spirit, you will never be born again. No. That spirit hates God. That spirit is a child of hell. That's why they didn't repair it. They removed it and gave you another one. Amen. When they put out Adam's candle and they killed the spirit, that spirit is perpetually allegiant to Satan. And that's the spirit of everyone that's not born again. So when you get born again, they go inside, they take out that spirit and give you a new one. And they call it, because we'll be taught that spirit is Christ. Amen? Are we together? But if your heart did not believe, and your heart is not in your spirit, your heart is in your soul. So your heart had to be convinced to open up for them to take out whatever, and God can use anything convinced. We've said time again, many things that get people convinced are strange things. You see, I get convinced, this whole heart opens up, and then the God goes into and takes out. It's a very real thing. God goes and takes out and gives you another one. And then, but that heart, I believe that a transaction, Daddy once said, the one LSC, Daddy Ekuchukwu, that kind of transaction cannot happen to a soul, and something will not happen to the soul. The soul, it will affect the soul somehow. That's why, and depending on the degree of, I say the weight, sometimes at that point, you begin to just see things to repent of. You're just, sometimes the transition is so major, the heart just begins to be smitten. It just begins to break. It just begins to break. I believe if someone like Paul preached to you, like recently I was privileged to witness our daddy. My daddy went for evangelism. Awesome. We're at a place. Kai! Daddy just said, I was just watching. I said, let me go see what. I just, you see, like joke. All they just calm down. I was when God said, after daddy preached to them and led them to Christ, I said, so go to church. I said, I have my church, I'm going to. And name the name of the church. I just saw conviction. I am so sure that their lives have been changed forever. I just thought that, I just reminded myself, if Paul preached to you, as in Paul preached to you, you must be born again. It's not be long before you start seeing Christ. Why? Because he's facing a direction. So I won't be surprised if all those people, we may not see them again. We see Jesus, but I'm sure when we get there, they'll say, Pastor, thank you. Something happens to the heart, and the heart can change. For some, it can be so marked that they'll say, this way of life, I'm not doing it again. That's a soul decision. The spirit is regenerated, but the soul has to make decisions to cooperate with what the spirit knows. Amen. I was saying that to say something that. At that point of your soul opening up for your spirit to be regenerated, something happens in the soul. Now that thing that happens in the soul now prepares the heart. It's the beginning of the preparation of the heart for to receive the word of God as a seed. Let's say amen. You agree with me that some things that got people born again, if you are God, they should not get people born again. Some of them are not the word of God. I'm sorry. I don't understand what I mean by that. By Peter's, you agree. Some people have heard that the reason why they're not progressing in life is that their uncle is the one that's sitting on their destiny. That for them to come out of that quagmire, they need to believe Jesus. Now, I'm sorry, is that the word of God? I don't know. I stand to be corrected. Maybe God put his word inside there somewhere. But something happens, and that spirit is generated. Now, if that person now uses all his born-again energy to chase that goal, you know he becomes a murderer. Are you following me? You know that person will become a murderer because he will hate. Why he got born again is that his uncle is dealing with him. Now, if he's an African, he wants to deal with that uncle. So how does he deal? He begins to pray fire prayer. He prays fire prayer. And then when something bad happens to the uncle, he says, God has answered my prayer. What's happened to the heart? The heart is now becoming callous. So, that's why you see God's ways are past finding out too. If it was me, I would say, how can that message get somebody born again? But you cannot say that person is not born again. You can't say he's not born again. He believed in Jesus, but the reason he believed in Jesus is so he can deal with his uncle. Some people got born again because they were sick. God can use any situation. I'm trying to paint that the word of God coming to your heart is not that. When the word of God comes, it is a description, to put it very simply, a description of the person of Jesus. They bring a nugget explaining him. If you now receive it, and that's what the parable of Saul begins to describe, the different heart states that a child, the different transformations that a heart goes through until this word of God can rest and now begin to bear fruit. Amen. So we see the first part is the wayside heart. All of us started with the wayside heart. You do not like the description of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus will come for your life. When they first start dealing with you, this is what Revelation is for. Revelation is not just, it's a description of the person of Jesus. When they describe me, they say, in this place, they say, apologize when they've done you wrong. The first time you did that, I know many of us are veterans like that. The first time you did that, it was as if you wanted to die. Am I correct? Oh my God. But I didn't do anything now. She's the one that did it. I say apologize. I'm not apologizing, no. Barren, unyielding, wayside. Why that person is not agreeing with that description of the Jesus is because he lacks understanding of what that thing will do to him. Amen. This is a teaching. I hope you are following. Why you will not quickly agree? So you don't understand that transaction. You think it's just forgiving. No, they are preparing that heart to bear fruit so that you can become a child of the kingdom indeed. You're not yet a child of the kingdom until the word of God has matured and borne fruit in you. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. What's that fruit? Is it evangelism? No, it's the nature that is in their soul. That's, this is of me. This one is not of me. Nature. Somebody say nature. Shout it, nature. If you cannot receive the nature of the kingdom except the word of God comes to you. So he said the seed is the word. I know I'm being very general. I know we can break it down more to the word of Christ, word of Lord. But he said the seed in that parable, Matthew 13, the seed is the word of God. Or Luke 8, I think Luke 8 or Matthew. Matthew called it the word of the kingdom, I think. Luke called it the word of God. Well, Matthew said word of the kingdom. I think Luke said word of God. So until that word visits you, you would, and when I say kingdom, it's the kingdom of a person. When I say kingdom, it's not a word, to put it very simply, the citizenship education. This is how we behave. Here, we forgive. Here, we suffer long. Here, we are kind while we are suffering long. We are not suffering long and grumbling. We are kind. We are suffering long and put it with a smile on our face, even though it's inconvenient. Here, we don't seek our own. All those are not just principles. They are description of a person. Amen. Amen. When that is being preached, amen, a soul can choose to receive it or not. So we all start with being buying and unyielding. Says this heart lacks spiritual understanding. It just lacks it. That's why we pray for the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge, so that the eyes of our understanding can be enlightened, so that when they begin to bring word, understanding is already there for us to traffic with it. Now, if you know that every time you do not forgive, you hold unforgiveness, you are likely, you have 50% likelihood of getting breast cancer. You know it. Not that you heard it. You know it and you believe it. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying. But studies have shown that one of the roots of cancer is bitterness. I've heard it since maybe 6-7 years ago. Bitterness. I'm not saying that's the only thing that causes it to. I'm not. But I'm just saying that if you are bitter, that's what they're saying. That's why what they're saying. Are we together? So if you know it, that you're not forgiving is dangerous to yourself. Nobody will tell you. You know, you will not struggle. You go to, God forbid, you go to doctor says, actually, you have cancer of the eyelash. Let me just paint one that's very ridiculous. I know it's very dangerous. They prove to you scientifically with all the proof, because like that the reason why it's there is that you're holding somebody in your mind. And the cure is to let that person go, or you will die in 5 days. Will you struggle to forgive? Before you've left there, Martin Yande, I've left him. Hey, take call. You don't have call, you will buy credit. You don't have credit, you will borrow. You have money, you will look for phone. You can go across your street to go and beg phone from that person. You're not going to, please, let's get me phone. I want to talk to this person. They don't give you. You will search until you get a phone. You don't have phone, there is no phone. You will look for a way to go to and look for the person. Oh, because you have understanding of the danger of not obeying that command. So understanding is what makes us profit with the word of God. Amen. When we don't understand what he will just say, it's a commandment. If you know that commandment is responsible for where you are, and commandment will lead you to the throne, I say you know, not, you know, it's the way you just say, I'm going to God. There's a way it's still not sitting because of another state of heart. But the first one that we all need is understanding. That's why we pray. Eyes of understanding should be enlightened, so that when the word of God comes, we have the capacity to receive. Let's say amen. Next one is a stony heart, shallow and offended. So this one, the heart, first of all, is a way, it's a road. It's not a field. Now, if you ever planted, you cannot plant on a road where people are always mashing. I can tell you, those things that are mashing are evil spirits. They're mashing your heart, coagulating, congeal or conglomerating your soil so that it is impervious to seed. Water cannot enter. It's so hard that water cannot even percolate. Then they begin to break it. Bah. Next thing is a stony heart. They've broken the heart down into chunks, but it's stones. No, you have some small soil, but major stones. That person is shallow and offended. See, here the heart is a progression. It's not different states of heart. It's the movement of your heart to fruition. Amen. With the heart shows some initial openness. There's even sometimes emotional response. Oh my God. Ah, that message touched me, Pastor. That word touched me. Ah, Pastor, touch me. Pastor, take offering. Touch me. Ah, Pastor, you preach well, so you touch me. Some of them are good, some of them are real, some of them don't last the night. Because by the time that word now begins to try, say, okay, you've heard today. Ah, forgive. You know, there's a way daddy can preach about forgiveness now with some weight of the spirit. You just, oh, I forgive everybody. And then before you get up, before you get home, shallow. Then, when you play that message again, you get angry. He's just saying it because he doesn't know. A woman never do you something. If you know what she did to me, you'll be preaching it. That's an offended heart. At least the word came. He's negotiating it. It's better than the one that brought, you know, the first one brought evil spirits. You know, if you don't understand, sorry, sir. If you don't understand, evil spirits come and fetch that word. And everybody says, what are they doing with it? I don't know. The Bible says evil spirits will come and snatch the word and take it away. I'm not going to finish you. Because useful say one. I don't know, sir. But their mission is that anybody that don't understand, that means it's just on the surface. It's not gone in. No, a seed must go inside. It's just there on the surface. It's called away. They just take it out. But this one, it's gone down small, but no root. So the person is now offended. You know all of us pass through that. Or you are passing through it. Pastor says something, I just agree with your initial construction of your soul. It's just because, and then the soul would have been saying, it's because he doesn't, you don't know my story. I find sometimes people are offended when you make light of their problem. They want you to agree that their problem is major. I remember one man God say, every time he sees, he'll be telling, he said, it's not a hard thing. They get angry. Say, you don't understand. That's what you're saying, sir. Say, it's not hard. Say, no, you don't. Oh, this man is like, then you say, he wants to support my wife. I want to support my wife. Yeah, maybe my wife has come to tell him before. Man, they're partial in this place. Just take sides of all negotiation. Everybody's heart usually passes. It's a state of heart. It's better than the first one, but it's not good as well. Why? Because it will not lead to fruition. Amen. The next one is a thorny heart, distracted and divided. So this heart, I'm assuming all of us have read the Bible, so that's why I'm just preaching through it. The heart accepts the word, it begins to grow. Ah, wow, awesome. God, I begin to make commitment. Today I'm changing. And this and that. And then it begins to, but all of a sudden, because you are born behind enemy lines, you think the enemy will let that seed to grow like that? No. Who watched the scrolling of scriptures? Has that thing gone out? That short video. Has it gone out? Nobody can answer me. The one where daddy was describing what to do. If the word does not flow, flow it. Is it out? It's not out. Ah. Oh, poor. Okay. All right. Sorry, I've leaked. Maybe I leaked it. But you watch it. It will soon be out. Distractions. And the Bible describes what those distractions. Cares of this world. Well, time you begin to see the demands of the offense is that the word does not seem to be addressing those cares. You don't know that the answer to those cares is actually growing. But it's something, I don't know, this word must answer. Like there was something that was described to me not too long ago. He said there are two ways to leave a problem. I think it was daddy, a call from something that daddy Kutu said. There are two ways to deal with an issue. One is to solve the issue. Two is to overgrow the issue. Let it now become, go from issue to non-issue. Some things are an issue now because of where you are. When you grow, you look back and say, why was that thing bugging me? Because you have grown. But those things are made, so the word is there. What is growing you is the word of God that's been given to you. Description of Jesus that says, ignore that thing. Say, no, I can't ignore it. It needs my attention. And then begins to distract, compete with the word. So the word does not, it can grow, it will be there, but you are too distracted. You are too distracted to bear fruit. Too distracted to bear fruit. And that's a state where a lot of us find ourselves. And because that is the warfare of this world. This world is a is a vanity fear of distractions. You can use 80 years to do many things, and people will bury you in Tafa Balewa Square. Your coffin will be in the center. People will be weeping all over Lagos concerning how you have greatly impacted and imparted their lives, and you have not done anything about the changing of your soul. That is the evil of this world. It should die. Busy doing nothing. 80 years busy doing nothing. Why? Because Jesus did not once instruct you. Once he didn't interrupt your life. Because your life is heading towards the destination of iniquity. He needs to interrupt or arrest your development in iniquity. If he doesn't arrest it, you will just go the natural way where iniquity is leading everybody. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Finally, at the final stage, transformed, fruitful heart is transformed and ready. At this final stage, the heart is aligned with the kingdom. It hears, well, that's aligned per se. The heart has received the seed. It's now going to bear fruit. And we saw even the fruit bearing is in stages. Some people bear only 30-fold. Some people bear 60. Our prayers are we'll bear 100. You didn't say amen. Or maybe you're not designed to bear 100-fold. That is perfect fruition. That is a full-blown charity man. That is a child of the kingdom. Amen. You know, Christ is a child of God. A boy goes to become a man. A girl goes to become a woman. A believer should grow to be Christ. Then Christ grows up into being God-like. So the mature, when you say mature believer, mature Christ is baby God. You understand what I mean by that? Just think of sky rise. One person's ceiling is another person's floor. So if you're on the first floor, you have grown first floor. Your head is not touching the roof of the first floor. You have a head. The head of man is who? Christ. The head of Christ is who? So the man will grow to be Christ. Christ needs to grow as well. Now for that to grow, that when you receive the key, see, that has taught us time again that Christ is the man that's at peace with God. To be at peace with God is to agree with all his program for your development and not argue again. God, do it. And it doesn't mean you have grown. It means you have agreed to grow. Amen. So as you begin to grow, you will now grow to become God-like in your thinking, God-like in your nature, God-like in your manifestation as well. That is the manifestation that they're looking for. Why it says the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Those sons of God are the ones that have grown, the Christ that have grown, that God, they have grown to such an extent that God can showcase them. May you not send out your child to war when he's not ready to fight. You send blue belt to black belt war. That person does martial arts. Judo martial arts. Just be a fan like me. You're not going to be beating people. I don't know. All right. Finally, so at this final stage, the heart is aligned. Say it hears, receives, and retains the word, then multiplies it and bears fruit. It's only at this point of fruitfulness that God raises his children and sows them into it should be. Some people have gone out prematurely. Oh, Lord, use me. Oh, use me. I said, grow down, use me. And then if you don't use me, I use myself. And then go and use yourself. Like one man of God said, some people who are sent, others just went. If you just went, if you're part of the went company, you can be, the worst is that happens that you can be damaged. That's the best. The worst is that you become a tool to damage others. That's the one that's so painful. You become a tool because you're quarter to rev, you're quarter to understanding of Jesus. You're like Jesus at 12. You know, at Jesus at 12, you cannot start ministry. I mean, he was had work strong in the spirit. The grace of God was upon him. He was full of this. Luke 12:40. Jesus at 12 is not supposed to start ministry. But many of us, just Jesus at 12 anointing, you can go and start ministry. Say, Lord, use me. Luke 2:40. And the child grew and worked strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. That's enough to start ministry now. You are filled with wisdom. They didn't tell you the level of wisdom, it's shall wisdom. Wax strong in spirit. I don't know what that means, but it's something that you can use to do ministry. And the grace of God was upon him. Wax strong in spirit, wisdom, grace of God, ministries, international. And then you start. But that person could not, that at that stage, he was not qualified to go to war yet. Amen. So don't just went to be sent. And they will not send those that are not grow. Finally, the divine sequence, inner life before outer use. The parables of the wheat and tares and the parable of the sower are definitely linked. One reveals the goal of raising and planting the children of the kingdom in the world so that we can expire this present. When we mature and prove that we do not need this world to live, they will expire it. Amen. We'll look at that more next week. And the other reveals the process, transformation of the heart through exposure to the world, to the word. It's essential to understand that God does not sow people into the world as representatives until they have first been transformed within. Amen. Salvation is not merely a doorway to heaven. It's the journey of coming into divine nature. A soul renewed, a heart made right, fruitful, and a life that expresses the values and the image of Christ. Only such lives qualify as true children of the kingdom, sown as light into this dark world. Conclusion, these parables invite each believer into a journey of intentional heart cultivation. Amen. Guard your heart with all diligence. It's you. Nobody will do that for you. It says the harvest God desires is not merely a numerical, but qualitative. He seeks lives that have been deeply changed by the word and are capable of producing or reproducing the life of the kingdom. Understanding both the process and the purpose equips us to respond correctly. We are called to submit to the dealings of God in our souls so that we can emerge as fruitful sons and daughters, ready to be sown into our generation as agents of light, truth, and life. Can we say amen? Have you been blessed? So we can, I know the nutshell, there are so many things we can take from the lesson, but in one word, what we should take from this lesson is grow. Tell your neighbor, grow. Say it to another person, grow. All right. So I like that divine sequence. Now, it was just a further explanation of what I was saying earlier. Do you know what they did to Job before God sent devil to him? You were not there when they were doing this. You don't know how long it took. You do not know. Or maybe you know. I don't know. But at some point, God could say, you know how God is awesome. He just said, have you considered my servant Job? You see that teaser? Have you considered? You know, if it's you, I mean, this is my child. God will just say it very casually. You think that thing is pointing to. It's not himself he's pointing to. It's something I worked on that one. He said, have you considered my servant Job? A man for, you know, the way he just said it in one sentence. It looks like an ordinary thing. Do you know the years it took to raise that? The dealings and leadings that raised that God could confidently say. The only person we saw that ever happened to after Job was Jesus. They said he was driven of the Spirit to be tempted. He was not. None of us will be tempted by the devil. Jesus has been tempted for us all. I don't think so. Because if it's true, then he will say to him that overcometh. Now, you don't need to overcome if there's no obstacle in front of you. Obstacle is temptation. Obstacle is temptation. It's a temptation not to circumvent or to use another means of solving that issue. God could boast about Job because he submitted to the great brother. And that is the person that's most useful. The one you know that when he goes, will not go and side with your enemy. You know, just time and again, the power of Satan is not the oppression. His power is to make you love him. He will come and bring reason. He legally engages you. Somebody said, don't let him talk to you. If he let him talk to you, he can convince you to hate God. He will not bring, he will talk. Just talk. Did he not talk to one of our first father and mother and then they decide to eat a food that God told them not to eat? So don't joke with his talking. Now, For you to be able to countermand that, I mean, Job was so raised, so God said, okay, there's nothing that, like Jesus, there's nothing that you want to say to him that I don't have an answer to. Amen. You know, this group chat of salvation was there before you and I were born. We are just added to this group chat. They have been talking since. And you know, the devil is in the group chat as well. It's a WhatsApp group. All of us are there. God is talking. It was first of all Adam they added to that WhatsApp group. Adam left the group chat. They added different people. Don't worry, I'll tell you the story. Different people in this group chat. They added Abraham to the group chat. Abraham was begging for them to add Ishmael. God said, no, don't add Ishmael to this group chat. He begged, don't add Ishmael. They begged, no. I said, no, do not talk. You know, he went to him, DM'd Abraham. Do not talk to me about Ishmael again. Come back to the group chat. Add Isaac to the group chat. They wanted to say, oh, yeah, expunge him. Ah, don't expunge. Ah, you like me. Eventually, he said, in fact, I will come as a man and buy a phone and enter the group chat myself. Let me see what's disturbing these people. He came as Jesus. Then devil also entered the group chat. Say, let us see. You are there. Me say, I want to go there. Went there. And the discussion happened. Don't worry. We'll continue that story another day. Are we blessed? Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of us understood what was being taught today? Amen. It's just an expansion of what I was exalting us with. That was last Sunday, as we are rounding up. Amen. Concerning the harvest. We are still going to talk about the harvest a little bit more. I'll just do a quick roundup, and then we'll go on with the service today by God's grace. Amen. So, like I said, we are going to be hearing more about the harvest. Now, last week, the Sunday school teachers tried to round up the Sunday school, but I've still felt in my spirit that this thing has to be taught a little bit more, attended to a little bit more, so that we can get deep into it. Somehow in my heart, I just felt that nudge to wait for everybody. I know that our level of response to sometimes emphasis of the Spirit are not the same. That is why you will hear, he that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, implying that it's not everybody that has ear at that moment. Some ear will come much later. Some ear is not this one. It's not this one. It's actually, you know, another way to put it is take heed. That ear is you taking heed to what is being said. So to arrive at that place where we take heed individually, sometimes one will have to wait for the other. You might have to have like 7, 6 sessions, 8 sessions, or even more for, you know, one to come up to the point where he can say, I'm taking heed to the things that are being said. Amen. And if you're going to really take it to what is being said, it means you're going to have to listen and not be distracted by the person sitting beside you. Yeah. Because if you easily get distracted, you're not going to hear what is being said. Hallelujah. Praise God. So today we just talked about is an aspect of it. But I want to touch another aspect, still in that Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be dealing with Matthew chapter 13 a whole lot more in the whole Sunday school thing about harvest. Praise God. Now, an aspect that really interested me, which I felt, I've talked about it previously, is just making sure that we have a grounded understanding of the harvest. An aspect that I felt we needed to understand and also begin to prepare our hearts to. You know, let me put it this way. You know, there is, especially when we teach, when you listen to this kind of teaching, and then it was last Sunday while I rounded up that the thing began to come to my heart. There's a way we can listen to it, and then we take the disposition of heart that gives us the mind that until I am matured, until I become a son, then I am not useful to the kingdom. No. No, 1,000 times no. I used to use myself as an example when I gave my life to Christ. Well, I gave my life to Christ at a very young age, and that was in secondary school, and I was in SU. And in SU, we did evangelism. How many of you were in SU? Gen Z's never knew what SU is. Amen. Not school, not secondary school, not fellowship in school, not campus fellowship. I'm talking about scripture union. How many of us were in SU? You experienced SU. I don't think there's anybody who, most of our fathers in the Lord, mommy was also an SU. In fact, they know us. We carry our Bible. This is how our Bible. Thank you, mommy. This is how our Bible, and we are proud to, thank you, ma. Yes. We are proud to carry our Bible. There was no phone, there was no tab. And in SU, we discourage that Gideon, you know that small Gideon Bible? WD, we call it Dagger. Because what the Bible said, the sword of the Spirit, not the dagger of the Spirit. Not pen knife. It is sword. So you have to carry your sword. And we are proud. This is how it goes. Like this or like this. Or if you are in a hurry, like this. And then you're marching. Amen. Now, we didn't have... Thank you, ma. Please, help me give it back to mommy. We didn't have all the revelation. We didn't have all the understanding that we have right now. Now, I want to say that an aspect that I also want us to begin to cultivate and prepare ourselves for is the aspect of, I'm going to read from the scriptures, is the aspect of sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. What I mean the gospel, I'm not talking gospel as in the revelation you're hearing right now. I'm talking about getting someone born again. Being conscious of getting someone born again. Now, after I gave my life to Christ, with not much, got filled with the Holy Ghost, with no revelation at all, one of the things we delighted in doing was evangelism. It was evangelism. And then in doing evangelism, we did all manner of evangelism. Amen. Praise God. I did bus evangelism. I did hospital evangelism. The only place I never went to was prison. But every other market evangelism, we did all of that. Morning cry. We did all of that. One of the things my pastor said, he said, there is no place, there's no street you go for evangelism to preach on that you go back there to misbehave. There is no office that you share the word of God with the people that are in that office that you will not become a lamb there. Most of the time we keep quiet and then we find ourselves boxed into a corner where we begin to struggle. What we are struggling, he's talking about weeds and tares. Now, if you're not careful, the tares can choke you. Apart from the hearts of thorns and thistles, the weeds can choke you. The tares can choke you. You can be boxed into a corner. So that aspect of winning souls for Christ, if you were also maybe you partook of Assemblies of God community, part of there's the castle, the castle, we eventually saw castle in university, but castle was the youth wing of Assemblies of God. They have their creed. Part of it is to be like Christ. Then the other one is to win souls for Christ. How many of us had Assemblies of God background here? Let me see your hand. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? Castle? Not many of us. Okay. Mamusha also knows Assemblies of God. Mamusha was a minister in Assemblies of God, so she knows that very well. Castle, to win souls for Christ. Was part of their creed. To be like Christ was there, to win souls for Christ. There are about how many of them? Is it 7 or 10? I can't remember right now. But I remember these two. To be like Christ, to win souls for Christ. That's what we understood then to be ambassadors, because a castle was ambassadors for Christ. Now, growing up, I discovered that helped me a lot. That helped me a lot. It helped me to stay on fire for the Lord. It helped me to stay on fire for the Lord. Because we have to go for evangelism, so we have to pray. We have to spend some time praying. We have to fast. We have to follow up some people. Let me just feel free and tell you some of things we did forever. After I gave my life to Christ, I was in secondary school then. Of course, the way I was when I was in secondary school, I was really a good boy. Amen. If you understand what I mean by a good boy, I was a good boy. Now, I wasn't the fighting type. I wasn't the too rascal. I was fairly a good boy, just like any other Gen Z. All right. Loved party. When he was talking, I just remember I was a rapper, actually. That was in secondary school. I used to rap a lot. And I used to rap, I used to write from my own rap and write it, the dance, all those choreography dance and all of that. I was into it very well. In fact, at a point I thought I was going to be one of my guys that, sorry I'm mentioning all this, one of my guys that that inspired me so much with raps was MC Hammer. Some of you will know MC Hammer. Bobby Brown, they came much later, they were boys, you know. MC Hammer was the guy who actually, one of the major guys that were there, MC Hammer. All right, so with that, I'll say in my own set, I was known. Just sometimes when you look at Joel, when I see Joel, Joel is me when I was young. Knows everybody, everybody knows him. And then he just does things that, I just do things that will make everybody get, that will just get everybody's attention. The version of me you're seeing right now is a version of a father. Now, so you can imagine what I was like. And then because of that, the kind of guys that will hang around you. The kind of guys that will hang around you when you're like that. Then by the time I gave my life to Christ, I knew that I have to stand for Christ. Meanwhile, I've been a church boy all along. I can't tell when I started going to church. I've been a church boy all along. But when I gave my life to Christ, there was a difference. It marked a difference. And I knew that these guys around me, in fact, one of them told me, he said, all these things you're doing is because you're still in secondary school. By the time you leave secondary school, you'll stop all this. This is nonsense. You know, you're going to stop all this. But thank God, I didn't stop it. Praise God. One said he's giving me how many weeks that I'll come back. Because, you know, my friends, they wanted about, how did you leave us? How are you? One of them said, you're a bad boy. You think with all that we have done, you will go to heaven. That we are all going to hell. Amen. But that was it. But one of the things that happened to me was that I never refrained from preaching the gospel to them, the little that I know. I preached to them and preached to them until those who could not endure my preaching left. They were ashamed of what I was doing preaching. And those days I don't preach, because you know when they are together as boys, if you go into their midst to want to preach, the way they will embarrass you. So I don't do that. What I do is that I will corner you. Maybe when you're going to the restroom, or when you're, you know, just one corner, you alone, I will corner you. And I will stay in a position where you will not leave. I will preach to you. And I will, because I had in mind to win souls for Christ. Now, that win souls for Christ, because when we hear win souls for Christ, you're thinking of just the end of salvation I mean, the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. You're thinking of winning souls for Christ only as he that winneth a soul is wise. Now, we use that scripture, he that winneth a soul. That was also part of our motivation. He that winneth a soul is wise. But I know, with understanding, that we really didn't win the soul. We got the person born again. But we can use that word, win a soul. Amen. That was the beginning of the journey. And if you say win a soul, it's not inappropriate. That's doing evangelism to get somebody born again, and we call it winning a soul. It's not inappropriate. It's still a soul has been added. You want the soul, it has been added. And then salvation program will begin. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. So this was what I was, then I was alone, and after a while, all my guys, all the bad guys, all the bad fellows left me. So it was only, you know, SU guys that were my friends and all of that. And then after Sunday, the church I was attending then, there was not much emphasis on evangelism, but I had that burning desire to win souls. I had that burning desire to go out and preach to someone. I had a friend of mine, you know, about my age mate, who we got born again the same time. We were attending the same church. We will leave church after service. After service, our service ends around 11:30, and we leave church and walk on the street looking for who to preach. We went to different streets looking for around church, looking for who to minister to, somebody to preach to give, to get born again. We did that. We did that a whole lot of time. That was how I discovered a fellowship. If you heard me talk about GYMI, where I had, that was my first contact with Hagenites. It was while we were doing evangelism, somebody that knew us saw that we were on fire and said, there's a place. There's a place you guys would like to go to fellowship. It was after church kind of fellowship, interdenominational, and that's how we ended there. But what we used to do those days, we will, our pocket money, we will use it to enter bus. We will enter bus from one point to the other. We are not going anywhere. We are not going anywhere. We just enter bus to preach. I'll preach going, my friend will preach coming. Or I'll preach coming, my friend will preach going. We did that. That was our manner. That was our routine. We did that for, you know, we did that growing up. So, ministering to somebody who is not born again was an aspect of our growth. It was an aspect of our growth. One of it is that you need to testify. You need to. I was taught then, amen, praise God. Listen to me carefully. I'm saying this because of our young people. And not only our young people, even older people. You need to witness your faith to someone. You need to tell. That is part of what we are told. When in SU, we are taught to how do you grow in spiritually. One, that was the best they could tell us. Read your Bible, pray, and then witness your faith to someone. These three things. Now, and I don't think they still work. They still work. That's what I want to draw. Don't just keep quiet. Because you see, one of the things, we can excuse the fact that, okay, church is everywhere. But the truth is that it's not everybody who has heard the gospel actually. Like you are talking, some people, what they heard was that it's your uncle that is doing you. And because of that, they came to church. But they really did not hear the gospel. And so it takes a lot of time. Sometimes they become, okay, what are we? That's why here we have reception class. And it's very, very important for anybody who is going to be part of us to go to the reception class. So that you can understand what we are doing. Otherwise, you just think that this is any other church. This is not. This is a church with a mission. This is a church on a journey. This is a church with an aim. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. So it is that aspect is important. I don't want us to be waiting until you become sons of God, then before you now start coming to... No, it's something that is supposed to be an integral part of your journey while you have been born again, while you're journeying. And then it should not stop. I know some of us did evangelism when we just gave our lives to Christ. And then when you started hearing revelation, you stopped doing evangelism. It should not be so. Because there are many people who, actually, I discovered, like what I'm saying, that some people really didn't hear what it means to give one's life to Christ. And I can tell you a whole lot around it. One day the Lord told me, he said, when you go to preach to someone to be born again, don't tell stories. Just stay on this. I've mentioned it. I think I've mentioned it here. Just stay on these three things. The death, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Nobody argues it. You know, sometimes you want to be arguing, okay, why the, if the earth is round and the earth is flat and all of that. No, it's not. It just stay on this crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And I've noticed it. I say it again. I noticed it whenever I use it, when I tell people about that, all of a sudden you'll just see every head bow. Because it's a spell. It's a spell. It's so powerful that whenever you begin to talk about the death, the crucifixion, the death, you can even stay on the cross alone. Just cross alone will make the person's head bow. If you stay on resurrection alone, it will. If you stay on the death and burial alone, it will make the soul bow. There will be a conviction and the person will give his life to Christ. Now, somebody say, okay, if I do that and the person doesn't want to follow me to church. No. Just leave it. Do it. If you have opportunity to follow the person up, good. If you have opportunity to bring the person to church, wow, that's a good one. It means that you didn't just give, you know, get somebody born again and just left him like that. But whatever the case may be, you must witness. Can you say witness? Say it again, you must witness. The people that do it a lot is Jehovah's Witness. But if there's a people that should witness, we are the ones that should witness. Amen. Praise God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. You are the one that should witness. You should not refrain from sharing your faith, talking about your faith. That is part of the harvest. Is an aspect of the harvest. Is an aspect of the harvest. Is an aspect of the harvest. Seize every opportunity. Seize every opportunity. Don't. You are talking about the where we went to. That was on Friday. The funeral of one of our sister's mom, and we had to conduct the funeral. And then when we are there at the burial ground, immediately we finished, you could see the Agberos. They just gathered. You know how Lagos is, and just gathered. And I just looked at them. I said, it was one person that he actually came to ask me for money. And I told him, I said, no matter what I give to you, it's not as important as... Because, you know, you could look at them. And sometimes you look at them and say, will this one ever be born again? You know, the way they look. And that's the mindset that if you're not careful, Satan will create. You see somebody will tell you, he's a Muslim. Who told you? Who told you? Nobody is born a Muslim and nobody is born a Christian. Can somebody help me?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, pertinoclic affair dolateste, sustiana mantole bringosh calaberetona tia lidenoca. Elemuseti ala brofer catalidenanto finos de saste borodolatedia danate. I wanted to catch this burden. I wanted to catch this burden. I wanted to catch this burden. For it's a burden in my heart. It's a burden in my heart. It's a burden in my heart, for all souls are mine. All souls are mine. All souls are mine. All souls are mine. It is a pain to my heart to lose any of my creation. It is a pain to my heart to lose anyone that I sent here on earth. All souls are mine. All souls are mine. You don't know how painful it is to see even your children go to the place of where you cannot recover them again. It is a pain in my heart. I wanted to catch this burden. I wanted to catch this burden, for I would all men be saved. I would all men be saved. I would all men be saved. I would that your security man be saved. I would that your gate man be saved. I would that that conductor be saved. I would that Salisu be saved. I would that all men be saved. I would that they be saved. But some of you are not seeing this burden. My heart bleeds. My heart bleeds to see my creation go to hell. My heart bleeds to see my children die. My heart bleeds. Join me. Join me and carry this burden. Join me and carry this burden. I want them saved. I want them saved. I want them saved. I want them saved. I wanted to see this burden. See my heart. See my heart. Come partner with me. Come partner with me even in this walk of the end. Come partner with me. I want to begin with them even from the least place. Just allow me. Allow me use you. Use you to minister, to witness even to that one person, that two person, that your family member. Ah, that your colleague in the office. Yes, that your colleague in the office. That your boss that is about to go to hell if you don't open your mouth. Oh, allow me to go through you to minister. Minister, minister. Don't be cowered under even the lie of this world that this is not for an office space. Oh, all spaces are mine, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Oh, join me in this labor. Join me in this labor. Join me to redeem my children. Join me to buy them back from hell. Join me to bring them even into the kingdom. Catch this burden. It's a burden in my heart. It's a burden in my heart. See the Lord Jesus.
Amen. I want to say this. Now, you don't know what hell looks like. If you know what hell looks like, you will tell somebody about Jesus. You don't know what hell looks like. And that's why sometimes, you know, one of the things I don't want us to get to here in this church is, I don't want us to, you know, there's a way everywhere is cozy. You come, you hear revelation, you know, you are blessed, you are good. And then you go back home and then, you know, just continue. Another time you come, we have meetings and all of that. No, we must have that outreach mindset. We must have the mindset of reaching the lost. These are the things that I've been in my meditation and also in my prayer concerning the harvest. And I'm trusting God that will come up with, you know, the other time I talked about the harvest, I think that was the beginning of the year when we had was not crossover, community service. And I was trying to explain to us how the mission field has changed. How we also have two. And then there was so much response, you know, all the things we said we were going to do. I've not seen any of them. I'm just waiting. I've not seen any of them. And then one of the reasons why I feel so is because that's why I said, if we catch the vision of the harvest, we will go beyond. You know, we can see there are excuses. There's an excuse not to evangelize. There's an excuse not to share your faith with someone. But like I said, if you know what hell looks like. Now, I want us to, it's just a very small pamphlet. Do we have it there in the book stand? I Went to Hell by Kenneth E. Hagin. Do we have it? How many of us have read it? It's just a small pamphlet. How many of us, let me see your hand. How many of us have read it? Oh, no wonder. Not many of us have read it. You need to read it. Now, the Lord had to give him that experience. And I believe the reason why the Lord gave him that experience is to share it with us. Now, there are many other experiences, and there are many people who have had experiences of hell. All right? Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, if you know what hell looks like, I tell you, you will stand up and share the gospel with someone. You will stand up and share the faith with someone. You will not just keep quiet. You will say something to somebody. Because the truth of the matter, whether you like it or not, my brethren, I tell you the truth, I lie not. If somebody passes from here to there and has not given his life to Christ, I don't care if he is the most. I don't want to call somebody's name here. You know, there are some people that the world celebrates as being pious, people who have helped humanity, whatever you might call them. If the person has not made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ by being born again, the person is going to hell. The person is lost forever. That thing does not dawn on us. Even as I'm saying it, I know it's still vague. It's not a reality that we are able to capture. You think things, maybe things are not really the way they are painting it. And I've seen some people teach that actually there's no hell. Okay, just wait. It won't be long for you. You'll discover it, and then it will be too late. Because there is hell. There is heaven. And can I tell you something? Those who have passed on and had the opportunity to come back and tell the story will tell you that that side is more real than here. Remember Lazarus and the rich man? It was Jesus himself that talked about it. He was teaching about hell. It was not a parable. It was a reality. There is hell. There is hell. Now, I'm not scaring you with hell, but I'm just saying that if you know what it looks like, you will tell somebody about Christ. Now, I was saying something before I got here. You know, there are some people you look at, it looks like, because his name is Saeed. Osama. You think this person cannot give his life to Christ. He's a Muslim. Nobody is a Muslim. Nobody was born like that. It's a lie that Satan tells everybody. And it's also a lie to tell, you know, because when you're feeling from which religion, you feel Christianity. Kai. It's a lie. If you have not surrendered your life to Christ, you've not given your life to Jesus, you are not a Christian as much as I'm not an astronaut. You're entering into your garage this morning to pick your car. Did it make you a car? You have to have a time when you give a point where you were convicted and you gave your life to Jesus. Now, there is nobody who cannot be born again. I want you to remove that thing from your mind. No matter how his face looks like, no matter, you know, some of them, Satan would have used them, you know, and some of them looking, you know, if you meet these Agbeiros, you see, this one, Jesus died for him. I want you to have that mindset that Jesus also died for this one. Jesus died. And the fact that I'm born again today and I'm the way I am is because of mercy. There is nothing that would have stopped me from being like him or even worse if I did not meet Jesus. Jesus makes the difference. It's Jesus that will give your life a meaning. Not this world. This world can give meanings to life, but that meaning will end here. Because by the time you go, none of you will go to hell in Jesus' name. But if you have an experience of that, you will see that you have the cream de la cream. You have all manner of human being there. We have to find a way to reach the lost. Those who have not been saved. We have to find a way. Join me in prayer. I'm praying. I'm trusting God that we will find, God will give us wisdom on how to. But personally, I'm talking about as a church, but personally, there's something you can begin to do about it. The other time I had to talk to the follow-up department and the, you know, those who welcome. I said, those bus drivers there that come to drop you every morning and wait for you to finish service and they drive you back. I know you are, well, we paid them. Oh no. That money you're giving to them is nothing. The best thing you can do to them is to talk to them. Do you guys know what we, I say, they don't hear English, they don't hear. No, we can actually, I told Pastor Kunle is not here. I said, we have to find a way to reach them. If it means creating a church for them. Or Sunday school, designing a Sunday school where we would teach in the language they understand. Even if it's broken English or if it is Yoruba, we would do that. Because, you know, there's a way we can just separate ourselves. You know, the, praise God. You know, there's a way church is right now. It just looks, some people have come here and said, this church, these guys are high class church. Yeah, our neighbors. One of them, we had something to do with the person. He said, I know you guys are in money. He said, I know you guys are rich. You know why they think of us like that? You know why they think of us like that? They saw when we are doing the foundation of the church. In fact, when we are doing the foundation, because of the piling we did, they told us that you guys are wasting money. How can you be doing this kind of thing here? Are you building a bridge? Because our piles are actually very massive. And for me, I said, we are building a place that we are going to be worshiping and people are going to be gathering here. I don't want something falling on top of anybody or a building collapsing. It's a house where the children of God are going to gather, so we have to make it as solid as possible. But they looked at it and said, you guys are wasting money. You guys are wasting money. So they assume that this is a church. In fact, one said, why didn't you guys go to Lekki to go and set up this church? Are you understanding? You see their mindset? So it is not. So they are seeing our outward arrangements. They are seeing our outward arrangement, our outward packaging. But we are more than that. We are spirits. We go beyond this outward packaging. How we know is that you're able to reach a conductor. You're able to reach Omonile. You're able to reach somebody that looks unreachable and not have it in mind, oh, this one cannot give his life to Christ. Don't let Satan tell you that. Jesus died for everyone and nobody has the right to go to hell because Jesus has paid the price. The person will go to hell because he chose to. Not because we did not do what we ought to do. So don't keep quiet. Share the gospel. It's an aspect of the harvest I want us to understand. Amen. Amen. So where I wanted to read was, thank you for this lady. Say, God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But I want to read from Matthew chapter 13. Like I said, I wanted to. He said, the kingdom of God, verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. That net is also dragnet that we cast into the sea. And gathereth of every kind. We cast it into the sea. We cast the net into the sea. The sea, amen, are you understanding me? Amen. You know, we talk about the kingdom as the one that pastor was just teaching. The sower that went to sow a seed. We also talked about the kingdom of God as the children of the kingdom. Parable of the wheat and the tares. Now, this is also part of, all these are all, I'll call it expressions of the kingdom. Now, this one is, the kingdom of God is like a dragnet that is cast into the sea. So the sea is this world. In the scripture, this sea is always this world. The sea is this world. It's cast into, so we have to have a net. Tell somebody we have to have a net. As a church, we have to have a net. For catching fish, we have to have a net. We can't just be a boat as big as we are, as a vessel sailing in the sea of this world and not have to catch. We have to have nets to throw out, because he said, look at it, and cast into the sea and gather of every kind, not just those that look like us. Not just those who are students like you. Not just those who went to school like you. Not just those who are in blue collar job like you. Not just those who are in tech like you. Not just those who are, you know, all the demographics that we might have. Not just, he gathered every, can you say every kind? Say it again, every kind. So every kind, the net is supposed to gather. Now, among those every kind, when they are, he said, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. Amen. Praise God. But we are allowed to bring in every kind. Are you following what I'm saying? We bring every kind into the boats. Bring into the shore. The shore is where they will sit down and then begin to sort them out. And I will tell you all the time, the message that is given to us as a people is the message of sorting out. That's what word of righteousness is, actually basically a message of sorting out. But how will you sort out when you did not gather? What will you sort out? Did you get me? What will you sort out if you did not gather anything? So we'll just be sorting ourselves out. Pastor TJ will be sorting out Ayo. Ayo will be sorting out Pastor TJ. We'll just be, that's what Hagin called fishing in your own bathtub. Do you understand that? You know, bathtub, and then you want to go fishing, you just put your den and you sit in your bedroom and then you fill water in your bathtub and then you put your hook. There ain't no fish there, man. There are no fish there. There's no fish. You have to go to the river. And in the river, you meet all kinds of things. And in going to the river, the grasses will tear your legs. Sometimes you have to go to the river. You have to go. If you're sailing, you have to cast your net into the sea. And then when you cast it, you're going to bring crab. You're going to bring tilapia. You're going to bring all kinds of croaker. You're going to bring all kinds. They are allowed to come in. And then sorting out begins. The message is for to sort out. But to sort out, you also have to bring in. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I want to stir up our hearts concerning the harvest from this dimension. That, you know, Pastor was saying that he saw me preaching. Now, for me, I would not let go of that opportunity. I will not let go. I used to look for opportunities like that. Even on my streets, I'm looking for opportunities to engage some of them. There's one like that well, I just saw him, I laughed. You know? He wants to make everybody on the streets afraid of him. You know, he's, what do you call it? Not area, this one not area. He has his own God that he worships. So he makes some sacrifices. I'll just be looking at this guy, say, hey, yeah, you don't know who is here. You see, those are your gods will not answer. But I know that all those things are bubble. He just wants to everybody to be, you know, like Elimas. Elimas, the sorcerer, wants everybody to submit to him. I say, you give your life to Christ too. I will corner him one of these days. And one of the things I do before them is I try to live a life before them. Not a life, of course, they've tried to bring up things that will bring confrontation. I avoid it. I will not get into any altercation with anybody. If you come and you want to be, I will plead with you. And whatever it is it money you want for this? Take it. You know, sometimes they'll come, okay, we need to do this. I will tell my boy Jida, I said, pay them in advance. Security money. Pay them like 6 months. We paid for 1 year. They came quarreling us. Now, why did we pay for 1 year? That nobody pays for 1 year. It's every month. And the reason why we pay for 1 year is so that it will not be said that we are not paying. I just know that they look for opportunity to find fault with you. But we try to avoid it. We try to live a life. And then I just see that guy, you know, you call him, what's his name? Yeah. He all of a sudden he's coming down. He's coming down. And when he's talking with me, he could just see that. And I'm just marking time. I will minister to him. I will bring him to church here. And not only him, others too will come. Hallelujah. Now we cannot sit comfortably enjoying our AC. You know, let me tell you something. You know, something scattered the church in Jerusalem. Do you know something scattered the church in Jerusalem? You know what scattered the church in Jerusalem? What did you call it? What did you call it? Persecution. You think persecution is gone? Persecution is still coming. I tell you, I lie not, in Nigeria. Oh, you need to hear what is going on in the north, and you think it's just going to be in the north alone. It's coming down south. There's going to be persecution of true believers. True believers are going to be persecuted. Amen. And I tell you, when that time comes, amen. Amen. Let it not be persecution that will scatter us. Persecution because we are seated comfortably. Because I perceive that was one of the things that happened to the church in Jerusalem. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. But they were breaking bread, you know, from house to house, having fellowship with one another. But God said, no, that's not what Jerusalem church is not supposed to just be Jerusalem church. I want to move you guys ahead. You're supposed to reach. In fact, God had in mind of the Gentile church. So from Jerusalem, he scattered them. Some ran to Antioch. That was how church in Antioch started. It wasn't Paul that started church in Antioch. I was teaching it on Epistle Life. It wasn't Paul. It was some of the brethren that escaped persecution that went to start the church in Antioch. Paul wasn't even there. It was Barnabas. When the disciples heard that people have received the gospel in Antioch, that's those the leaders in Jerusalem, they had to send Barnabas. So when Barnabas got there, Barnabas saw the grace of God with them, that these people are genuinely born again. So Barnabas went to fetch Paul, went to fetch Paul, and that was how that gathering, you know, they now began to teach. So in Antioch, we find prophets and teachers. And while they were teaching, you could see the Holy Ghost, because he's the Holy Ghost. He's the mind of the Holy Ghost. Separate, because after a while, they began to just prophesy to one another and then enjoy fellowship. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. How was the first place they sailed to? Ephesus. They started sailing, and that's how the church in Ephesus started. So you could see how church was moving. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Are you understanding me? We must have that mission-minded mentality towards the harvest. I always quote the scriptures for you. A son that sleepeth in the harvest, give it to me, Proverbs. A son that is asleep in the harvest makes the father, just find it for me. It's in Proverbs. He was talking about is it a son or a child? Thank you. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Can we read it together? I want to go. Now, harvest is always in summer. Harvest is always in summer. So, he that gathereth during summer or during harvest is a wise son. So, let's be wise. Amen. So, let's gather. Can you tell somebody, let's gather? Let's witness to somebody, talk to somebody, your neighbor, your colleague, in the bus. You know, we are fast forgetting to preach in the bus. Moya, I know you did it those days. You know, you sit in the bus. Right now, God has given some of us cars, and then you don't have opportunity. But we see fine opportunity to preach. Sometimes leave your car and enter the bus because you want to preach. You know, sometimes I'll tell you, you might enter one chance. Preach. There's no way you'll be preaching if they carry in one chance and you start preaching. You know what? They will paralyze. You don't know the power of the gospel. You don't know what it means that these signs shall follow them that believe. We are not experiencing it today because we are not going anywhere, so nothing is following us. We are just sitting down. Because it will follow you because you're making a movement. You're doing something. Amen. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. All right. Are we blessed? I'm sure they are going to expand it more, but I want us to catch. That's part of the fever I want us to catch for the harvest. Amen. 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 Amen.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call +234 816 236 6700. You can also contact us through WhatsApp on +234 803 688 4759. God bless you.